B-Pod Studios. Sci-fi.
Whoa.
Anime.
Whoa.
Video games.
Whoa.
Comic books.
Whoa.
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
This is Nerd Radio.
Excellent.
This is Nerd Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another week of Nerd Radio, part of the B-Pod Studios Network, wherever you get your podcasts, most importantly, at our website, nerdradio101.com.
Nobody can see us.
Oh, no.
Well,
are the cameras not working?
Something's like, remember when it was all messed up before?
Uh-oh, so it's messed up again?
Yeah, but now when I go into the properties to try to fix it,
yeah.
I just get a blank screen.
Well,
so
it's just a podcast this week.
Yep, you can listen to us.
You can't
not watch us.
Actually see us.
Pick my nose and stuff.
Yeah, maybe we'll.
Awesome. Either that or this is a troll on me and Chuck. He's trying to get us all comfortable.
Trying to get us to do stuff that we wouldn't do if the cameras were up.
Take a gander of that cell phone.
Oh, right.
Twitch
my.
App, Al. All you see is three boxes where our faces would be.
I've never looked better.
We
not
just,
a single face.
We so just wanted to.
Just a camera on my box is all we got.
Usually that costs money. Usually got to get Al's OnlyFans link to get that view.
We're off to a fine start.
OnlyNerds.com.
OnlyNerds.com.
Let me try a different camera view. Maybe we'll get with four cameras. No, no, he's
no,
got four
nothing there
boxes.
Either.
How about two cameras? We don't need to see Al.
The cameras are just broke. Oh. It just broke. Well, Twitch viewers, thanks for listening to us, I suppose, as we do the Nerd Radio podcast this week. Chuck B.
Normally, you can see us on the Checkpoint XP Twitch stream on Wednesday afternoons.
That's true. Absolutely true. Chuck Bean joined by Al Beck and James for this week's Nerd Radio, which you can find us on our social media at Nerd Radio 101. Okay, now I've got all the official stuff out of the way. Now the show can officially go off the rails, even though it already has.
Yeah,
it's already off the rails. How you guys doing this morning?
Well, not too bad.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
I'm sleepy as hell.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've been doing nights, right?
It's a long week for me doing essentially a double shifts. So between, you know, because I'm here and then I'm at the comic store sometimes and doing my other jobs and stuff. But I have, I did make sure this past weekend to live it up, knowing that this week was going to be kind of a hell week as far as work is concerned. I watched a bunch of stuff. I played a game we'll talk about coming up. And I checked out Masters of the Universe on Netflix.
Ooh, you watched it.
That's where we're going to start. First of all, were either you guys really big into Masters of the Universe growing up?
Not even a little bit.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe?
No, not me.
Barely.
Barely.
Just a little bit.
I wasn't allowed to be.
Oh, that's right. You weren't.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go over to a friend's house and
watch the
cartoon.
Because there was like magic, the magic guy, right?
Little Orko. There was wizards and there was demons and monsters and stuff. And my parents were going through.
Dark-sided. Psychics. Aliens.
They were going through a religious phase and they were like, nope, that's not in this house, young man.
Yeah.
And then a year later, I was watching, you know, just anything. They didn't care. But I did check out the first five episodes of what's supposed to be, it's the first part of the season of Masters of the Universe, which Kevin Smith is an executive producer of. They've got Mark Hamill to do Skeletor in this one, and Sarah Michelle Gellar as Teela.
Is it animated or some sort of?
It's animated.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
'Cause you say Mark Hamill, he's such a good animated voice.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't remember which. Oh, he is Stinkor, but Jason Mewes does have a cameo.
Of course.
As the one that the figure I clearly remember was the skunk that you'd take him out of the package and your parents would be like, "What stinks in here?"
That's hilarious. I didn't realize that was even a thing.
Yep. But fans not, or old-time He-Man fans, not really taken to this new version.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people saying not nice things about it.
Okay, so brief spoilers for these first five episodes. He-Man dies twice.
Uh-oh.
In the first episode, and then later on it happens again.
Wow.
And
he's pulling some Jesus tricks.
Yeah, and the show focuses basically, the over the five episodes, focuses on the characters like Orko and Teela and the Sorceress and Man-at-Arms figuring out a way to bring He-Man back. You know, so he can kick it again near the end of the season. But as
there's no stakes, though, if he could just come back.
Right.
There's no stakes.
Yeah, it's almost like the new X-Men where they can just resurrect people. So it takes the stakes away from that. They have to figure out a way to put new stakes in it. But it does end on a like an Empire Strikes Back moment, which definitely, even before I knew it was the first half of a season, I was like, well, they're going to make more of this, right?
So we know who He-Man's father is. It's Skeletor!
Oh, no!
Skeletor's He-Man's father? Oh, what a spoiler! I can't believe I don't even need to watch it anymore.
That's not where I was going with that. But hey, you know what? Sure. But Kevin Smith really kind of getting into it with the fans online. I looked up this article on Sci-Fi Wire where the quote, and I'll take out some of the colorful language they put in here, was like, you really think Mattel Television, who hired me and paid me money, wants me to do Masters of the Universe without He-Man? Grow the F up, man.
Yeah.
Telling fanboys who are review bombing it everywhere that, and most of them are going the route of like, oh, it's a show that focuses around the female character on the Masters of the Universe show, so it must be a woke version of He-Man. And that's what a lot of the reviews and people who are angry about it online have been saying. Once again, not a huge Masters of the Universe fan, but I can kind of get where people would be a little upset about it, in the same way that we were talking about in the Black Widow movie, like the five Taskmaster fans on the face of the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably not going to be real happy about the way that he's portrayed in that movie, or the Mandarin in Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
But I got to say, like, the animation is head and shoulders above quite a few things I've watched on Netflix.
Really?
Like, they've got that Castlevania show that they've done three seasons of.
Oh, there's three of those already?
The animation on that show is awful.
Is it?
It's really, like, the
I mean, I watched the first season of it, and I didn't think it was that bad, but I was just more so disappointed in the fact that the first season of Castlevania, I think he finds the castle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's not even going to go in yet?
At the end of the season, it's like, it's Dracula's castle.
Yeah. I was like, I can't wait till the next episode when he gets in there. Yep. Tune in for season two. I was like, screw you guys. That's good to know that to put some money, at least they budgeted a good amount of money on a voice cast and the animation. It's really, that's what you need.
If you're going to do a cartoon.
You want a successful cartoon, get some good voice actors and get a good animator.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith being involved, to me, icing on the cake, maybe. Apparently, he might not have done as good of a job as what some fanboys were hoping.
Jay and Silent Bob are nowhere to be seen. Like I said, Jason Mewes does a cameo as the voice of one of the longtime characters. That's the thing, as a somewhat fan of Masters of the Universe growing up, a fan that couldn't watch the show, but would go to the toy store and see all the figures and understood, you know, what they use a lot of the cast of villains. Like, there's a lot of cameos of, like, Moss Man and was the fish guy. I can't remember his name.
No, I don't know. I don't know any of their names.
Right.
No idea. But all I know is anytime there's an animated series that involves, in some way, shape, or form, both Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes, I want the Easter egg of that running gag in the Jay and Silent Bob cartoon.
Uh-huh.
Have you guys seen the cartoon version of
Was it the Clerks cartoon?
Yes, the Clerks cartoon, yeah. Right. Have you guys seen that cartoon?
I have not seen any of the Clerks
cartoons. Okay, well, they have this running gag that it only did a couple of episodes. It was like maybe 10 episodes. It didn't last very long, but there was this running gag where characters would be walking up the wall, and it was like the Batman thing.
Yes.
You know, where they'd go up the wall, and there'd be people pop out the windows. There'd be all these cameos or whatever. Well, they'd be walking up the wall, and then all of a sudden, a potted plant would fall from off screen and reveal that they're just walking sideways with a rope. And they played that gag in, like, half of the episodes.
Instead of it falling past them, it just falls
here. It falls, like, directly between them from off screen. But it was, like, one of those things where it was, like, a stupid gag.
Yes.
But the fact that it was in, like, every freaking episode.
That's funny.
Amazing.
It's hilarious.
Any luck? No. I hear you changing things around.
Yeah, no. Trying to see if I can get anything to happen. The computer probably would need a reboot or something. It's like it doesn't detect any of the cameras. So this is the point where I bow out of trying to fix anything and just focus on.
Maybe between segments one and two of the show here, we'll reboot the computer and see if we can get it to work.
It's a podcast that we do.
It's true. Speaking of things you can watch too, did you guys watch the Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer?
I did, yes. Yeah.
It looks so good.
Yeah, it seems like it's staying more true to the original too.
I would say so excited.
Ivan Reitman's son, who's written and directing it, like he's really paying homage to the classic ones and the way they end. Like,
I'm excited by the returning characters that you get hints of in the thing. Somebody had pointed out there's a still shot or there's a shot of a graveyard, which it looks like in the trailer. Ghosts are going to come out of this like mine shaft near this small town, and the graveyard that leads to the mine shaft is named after Ego Shandor from the first Ghostbusters movie, the guy who created the building where Zool happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. It's lots of
Easter
deep
eggs.
Dives in the Easter egg department.
Yeah, from the first and second movie.
And I've seen some pretty crazy toys. It looks like those demon dogs, you know, like the dog creature that Rick Moranis and Sigourney Weaver get turned into. Looks like they're walking on two legs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I don't know if that's going to be because that's something that's in the movie or if that's something they were like, you know what would be really cool?
Right.
If we made those demon dogs, like, bipedal and walk around.
Right.
Because I was like, whoa, they're going to be fighting some of those?
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen in the toys, too, that they are making little, you know, obviously they're going to make Tiny Stay Puft Marshmallow Men because there's a cute scene with Paul Rudd in the trailer.
Yeah.
So we're going to see plenty of those. I wonder if that'll lead to a resurgence of a Ghostbusters cartoon.
That'd be pretty cool.
Tiny staple marshmallow.
I mean, I'd check it out. I don't think it'll ever hold a candle to the real Ghostbusters cartoon from back in the day, at least not in my heart.
Not the Filmation Ghostbusters, the people who made He-Man. Not that one. That was based on the old 60s show.
Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, that was always confusing as a kid.
Ghostbusters.
Because my grandparents or my parents, like family members that weren't really in on the Ghostbusters thing, got me a Ghostbusters birthday cake.
Sure.
But it didn't have any of the real Ghostbusters. Like, there was no Venkman, no Ray Stantz. It's like this weird group, a weird group of people, like in like a car, like a convertible car.
Yep.
And they were Ghostbusters. So they had to put the Ghostbusters cartoon out as
like a bust of Miss Cleo on it.
Ghostbusters.
I'm surprised you don't know about this film. There was a live action film where they had a guy in a monkey suit and then two dudes that were supposed to be Ghostbusters. It was from like, I think the 40s or the 50s.
And I didn't realize there was live action. I remember it as a cartoon.
There was.
Let me see if I can go Ghostbusters.
Huh. While you're doing our music, can you look up the Filmation Ghostbusters intro over there? Because that song lives rent-free in my head.
What am I looking for?
The Filmation Ghostbusters. It was the people who made the He-Man cartoon also got the... When Ghostbusters was a hit, they got the rights to do a cartoon based on this goofy-ass movie. And the theme song is extremely catchy. There it is. Let's go,
Ghostbusters! Yeah, because there was that Monkey King, that gorilla guy.
Yeah. It's the sounds of my childhood.
Never heard of this.
So, yeah, it was a real pain in the ass growing up because... The Ghostbusters I was into would be confused with these Ghostbusters, who are not Ghostbusters to me, a bunch of ghost clowns.
Yep.
Nothing they're busting.
It was definitely somebody who realized...
Yes, it is that crazy car.
Somebody realized when the movie hit that it's like, dude, if we can get out in front of this, we can get so much money from parents and kids that have no idea that this has nothing to do with the Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, Bill Murray movie.
Yeah, because this version reminds me more of like Hanna-Barbera, like a Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it looks very Scooby-Doo-y.
You know? I don't really get why there's a gorilla
on the Ghostbusters team.
You know, he looks like a tourist.
He does. He's wearing like a floppy hat.
Yeah, and he's got a camera. It's just weird. I mean, the symbol is pretty cool, with, like the little ghost head guy. And I almost feel like they had like little Ghostbusters popsicles that were in the shape of some of these villains. But I could be confusing those with just like popsicles that were just
in shapes.
Yeah, Frankenstein and Dracula and stuff.
Yeah, that could be entirely possible. And hey, while we're speaking about that Ghostbusters movie coming out in November, you can check out the trailer over on our website, WRAF.com. While we're talking about stuff you can watch, Snake Eyes, the G.I. Joe movie, quietly came out last weekend.
Yeah, it did. I heard it hasn't gotten that great of reviews.
Yeah, I haven't taken a look at it yet, but I have seen trailers, and I like that Samara Weaving, who played Keanu Reeves' daughter in the last Bill and Ted movie, is Scarlett in the Snake Eyes movie.
Okay, she's also in another show, Atypical, I believe, on Netflix.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch
of... I hated her character on Bill and Ted, Face the Music.
Did you?
I watched the SSA movie I watched, and I was like, again, me and Chuck, man. I was like, watching it, and I'm like, how could Chuck sit through this movie? Oh, my God, it's so bad.
He's charming.
How did he sit through this movie? It's awful.
It was heartwarming.
I know. I'm like, I feel bad. I'm like, I know Chuck loved this movie. He said it was great. He enjoyed it. And I'm like, how did he handle this? I'm like, is this for real? I'm like, did they really make this?
Yeah.
Well, you know me. I've only seen the first Bill and Ted movie, so I can't watch the new one until I watch the second one.
Journey.
I also need to read biographies on all of the historical characters that they interact with on the movie. need all the backstory.
Yes, well, you do.
We'll see you in 10 years then.
Yeah. Gotta go full Godzilla on this one.
Yeah.
It's going full Godzilla.
That's what it's called now from this point forward, going full Godzilla. Yeah, and Suicide Squad's coming out in a week or two.
Yeah.
I know that you would text me a day or two ago. You're like, hey, I'm going to one of these.
Yeah, I'll see you this weekend. I got invited to a press screening this weekend.
Yeah, so you'll be able to tell us next week, hopefully spoiler-free, what you think
we'll
of
see,
it.
We'll see.
I
think technically, if I want to stay in the good graces of the people who invite the press out to screen these movies, I will have to keep it spoiler-free.
I'm sure.
So, yep. I have a feeling a lot of them die.
Well,
pretty sure a lot of Suicide Squad members are going to die.
I love this segment. James spoils the movie before he sees it. He just comes up with an ending.
Right? What is before you've even seen it, what's the ending of Suicide Squad, James?
John Cena's character, the Peacemaker, saves the day. I think he...
Without a shirt on.
Well, if we're lucky,
right.
he will have no shirt on. But I have a feeling, and I'm only predicting this because they have that spinoff show that's coming to HBO Max. All about the Peacemaker.
Right.
So I'm assuming maybe him and Margot Robbie, him and Harley Quinn.
Yeah, because you can't kill Margot Robbie.
No, please don't. Let those two survive.
It's not possible.
The rest, you know, Polka Dot Man's probably the first guy to get taken out.
I love that actor because he's the guy in Ant-Man that talks about the Baba Yaga.
Is that guy. I was like, I've seen this guy before, but I don't know where.
Favorite gag in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
It is funny. That is that guy.
Baba Yaga guy.
Yeah, I say Peacemaker saves the day in some crazy elaborate way. Maybe somebody gets something shoved in a hole of their body and it detonates and they'll be covered in guts and poo and the end.
Guts and poo.
Guts and poo.
Now that's a quote for a movie poster.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You'll be covered.
Suicide Squad, guts and poo, James.
You'll be covered in guts and poo.
Cool. Well,
you can have a John Cena filled weekend this weekend.
Yeah, because we'll see Suicide Squad, and then I'm gonna go watch him hopefully perform as part of the WWE house show happening down at the LCA.
Right.
So, girlfriend, fiance, convinced me to drop some money,
getting that
more money than I wanted to drop. Yeah, to buy the only two front row seats that they had available. So she's like, just do it. It's a house show. There's a better chance that he might like. Take a selfie or shake your hand.
Are you going to faint if he touches you?
I don't know. I'm still nervous about any kind of interaction. Like, what if I just pass out when the music starts, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Like, the music
starts. He misses. And here's the thing. John Cena brings him back to life with mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. James sleeps through the entire thing.
Yeah.
That would be actually not bad. I could get my money's worth that way. But, yeah, like, what if the music hits and I'm just like,
and he's out.
He
wakes up with John Cena fanning him with that little towel.
Yeah.
Are you okay, buddy?
I was like, thank God you never gave up on me, John Cena.
Never gave up.
You kept fanning me.
Never quit.
Too bad you weren't the one giving me mouth to mouth. It's that guy, the big guy over there. Oh, man, he should really brush his teeth.
Yeah. One of the Viking Raiders gave you mouth to mouth.
Oh, no. Yeah. Ivar.
Right.
Yeah. At least I'm still alive.
Right.
I think.
Well, let's take a short break on Nerd Radio here. When we come back, there is a game that, as I said earlier, ate up my entire weekend. It's a new game. It's free to play.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
And it involves Pokemon.
Oh, never mind.
I'm out.
Give you guys my review on it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, I'm Christopher Sabat. I'm the voice of Vegeta and others, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
We're back with more Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts. It's part of the B-Pod Studios Network and on our social media. You can find us on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, and on YouTube at Nerd Radio 101.
That music during that rejoin, man, it sounds like summer fun time.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
That sounds like fun times in the summer. That's what the soundtrack of my summer would be as a child.
That's some Dragon Ball music right there.
That's Dragon Ball? Yep. Okay.
But yeah, it does sound like you're 11 years old. You wake up, you got a big bowl of Cookie Crisp, and that cartoon comes on, and you're like, it's going to be a great day.
Yeah.
I'm going to get on my bike, and I'm going to ride it all over the neighborhood.
Can I tell you one of my biggest disappointments from my childhood was Cookie Crisp?
What?
Really?
We weren't allowed to eat it because my mother was like, you can't eat cookies for breakfast. Like, they're actually little chocolate chip cookies. And then so finally when I got to a point where I was old enough to just buy my own damn cereal,
right?
I was like, I'm going to see what this Cookie Crisp is all about. And I ate it and it tasted like cereal.
Oh, that's why you were so let down. You waited until you were too old.
Yeah.
It's like
if you do get those really, what are those soft cookies? And you put those in milk, then you are having cookies for breakfast. Yeah. That's some good stuff.
So hungry now.
You know what I'm having for dinner now?
Cookies and milk?
I may not survive till next week's episode.
Was that the only cereal you weren't allowed as a kid?
We had this weird rule. It had to have like 8 grams of sugar or less in it before my mom would even buy it.
Damn, you learned to read the nutrition value label on boxes real early, didn't you?
Yeah.
Fascinating. Mm. No, we learned. I wasn't allowed to watch Masters of the Universe. You weren't allowed to have Cookie Crisp.
Oh, I had plenty of restrictions on, I had plenty of religious restrictions forced upon me as well. So there was that. Remember, I wasn't allowed to watch Ninja Turtles.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah.
It's all starting to make sense now.
Which
isn't
I can
it?
Tell
it's
me
all
cool
making
parents
sense.
Were.
I can tell you from experience growing up that they made the right decision as far as thinking that you guys would actually beat each other up with Ninja Turtles. Because growing up, once we watched Ninja Turtles, we found ways to forge, you know, like get a plastic sword or a plastic scythe or the. But you know, if you wanted to get like nunchucks, half the time, if you wanted real nunchucks, they were made of wood and chain, instead of the rubber ones that had the string on it. And if you wanted a bow staff like Donatello, you could just go to the hobby store and get one of those little sticks that was like 4 feet tall.
The hobby store, just find it in the backyard. I completely disagree with you because my brother and I, my brother beat my ass regardless of what was on the TV. The only difference was without Ninja Turtles, we weren't calling each other by Renaissance era painter names. So I feel my mother did us a disservice and hurt our education by not allowing us to watch Ninja Turtles.
Well, now you have an argument. You can be like, well, if we can watch Ninja Turtles, we can have an ass beating that's also education.
That's right.
Exactly. If you let us watch the wrestling, at least we'll know how to execute the moves properly.
Yeah. Instead, I got stuck with Arthur and Magic School Bus. Damn it, Miss Frizzell.
Yeah, she was a meth head for sure.
Yes.
It's funny you bring up Arthur. I thought I just saw in the news the other day.
Just a total trip. That whole show.
That's why that school bus is magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. They took the bus inside of one of the children once. I remember that episode. That was weird.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think we watched that in elementary school when we learned a little bit about anatomy.
Yeah.
New York Post reporting 2 hours ago, PBS children's show Arthur to end after 25 seasons.
Holy crap, it was still on?
It was still on, but, you know, not for much longer.
I know it was books, too. I think it was a book first.
Yeah,
like a little children's book.
A lot of those PBS shows end up, you know, they start as a book. Like Wishbone. Remember Wishbone?
I remember Wishbone.
Little dog.
I know. I referenced that over the weekend. Our neighbor was watching her her daughter's dog, and it looked like a little Wishbone.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, look, it's Wishbone.
Netflix is making a live-action Pokemon series.
Ooh.
They're saying they want to base it off of Detective Pikachu, the 2019. So, I mean, I'm sure the budget won't be as good. But if they can, you know, thread that needle of having Pokemon run around and make it feel like they're actually there.
Yeah, so what do you think the cut costs on to make the budget work? So is it going to be less Pokemon? Is the Pokemon going to look less like the Pokemon characters, or is it just going to be like no-name actors that can barely like?
Oh well, first of all, it's a bunch of actors you ain't never heard of before. But I think if it was me and I was cutting costs on this Pokemon show, I would have 5 Pokemon, 5 to like Pikachu's got to be one of them, obviously. But I would pick 5 Pokemon. And those would be the only Pokemon you see throughout the show. Not only the 5, but like a bunch of people have Pikachus. Because that way I could just use the same character model over and over and over again. Like an army of Pikachus for a scene.
What other Pokemon would you have to accompany Pikachu?
That's personal preference.
Preference.
Yeah, okay. If I picked Pokemon, it would be Pokemon that nobody would
care
about.
You can't ask Chuck.
You can't ask me.
He'll give you. He'll say Pikachu
first.
Well,
he's probably
first.
Like a Pokemon hipster where he's going to pick like some obscure.
He's an everything hipster.
Yeah, some obscure Pokemon. Yeah. That only if He's the coolest Pokemon that no one's heard of yet.
Who's your favorite X-Man?
Who's my favorite X-Man?
The Diddler.
Oh, it's the Diddler. Yeah.
He's okay. Not a Diddler.
After the Diddler, who's your second favorite?
Cyclops.
Oh, okay. Wow, this is shocking me. This is surprising me. I was expecting you to go with that Gold Balls kid or something like that. Something real stupid.
Right?
Real stupid. He comes at us with Dazzler.
Yeah, Dazzler.
Dazzler's all right. Dazzler's pretty cool.
I always hated when I had to play Dazzler on the arcade machine.
Yeah,
I
exactly. Don't be Dazzler. Which one is this?
Like, yeah. Everybody
loves... Is this Jubilee? I'm just going to say this is Jubilee. I don't know who Dazzler is. Yeah. I'm going to say it's Jubilee.
Everybody loves Deadpool. He'd rather read Gwenpool.
I would.
And Incredible Squirrel Girl.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong.
He just likes the local Great Lakes Avenger tie-in with Squirrel Girl.
I'm shocked, though. I'm shocked that it was big names.
It's a little humiliated to like pull the trigger and say my second favorite X-Men is Cyclops, but this is where we live now.
Why? Because he's into cuckolding?
No.
Oh.
Because most people think Cyclops is just he's the guy that gives Wolverine a hard time. He's just
well,
a dick.
He's the leader, man. So Sometimes the leaders have to be a dick, you know, to have a successful mission.
It's the same thing with the Ninja Turtles. Growing up, I loved Donatello. As I got older, I identified more with Leonardo.
Really?
I understand both Leonardo and Cyclops' frustrations with trying to lead a group of people into
what's
an activity.
I wonder if that has anything to do with this podcast.
And them bucking you at every turn.
I don't wanna!
Exactly. Thank you, Michelangelo. Speaking of Ninja Turtles, too, that's...
Can we go by the toy section on our way out?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? When me and Amy go grocery shopping, she's the one that's like, you don't want to go check for Transformers? And I'm like, I was just here last week. They're not going to have anything. No, let's go. Let's.
Yeah, just you don't want to risk
it. Yeah. You never know. I love her, but at the same time, she's also like...
She's an enabler.
She is. Because I'll see a Transformer that is a little more expensive than I want to pull the trigger on, and she's like... If you don't get it now, you're just going to be kicking yourself when you can't find it. Just do it now.
Yeah, she's like, just buy it now and put the Bagel Bites back.
Yeah.
And you're like, but I love my Bagel Bites.
But Bagel Bites.
Yeah, but then what will we do for a snack?
Yeah.
Lettuce, gone. Keep the Bagel Bites.
Can't wait for my snack of lettuce.
Lettuce.
This one's not as yellow.
But yeah, over the week.
What? Lettuce goes yellow so fast. That's all I'm saying.
It's true.
You know?
Over the weekend, I actually caught an
episode
or two.
It's a problem in my house, Al. Laugh about it. You know how much money I waste on lettuce every week? I throw two bags of lettuce away every week.
This is saying a lot, but this may be the stupidest conversation we've ever had on this podcast.
I've had
the lettuce conversation.
Yeah. Well, today on Nerd Radio, we go deep into lettuce.
I'm sorry, but the price of lettuce is really upsetting me. That's all. You know, if you're gonna buy shredded lettuce, it should last for more than 48 hours in your fridge. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no. That's
Nerd
right.
Radio goes into the leaves. Yeah,
we got grocery stores that are talking about having secret shoppers, making sure the produce is the freshest. Get out of here.
Yeah.
It's not working.
It's not fresh. It's not fresh enough for me.
Over the weekend, I caught a couple episodes of the latest Ninja Turtles cartoon, The Rise of the TMNT, it's called.
Is there?
Yeah, it's charming.
Is it on Nickelodeon?
It's on Nickelodeon. Okay. I actually caught it on that Pluto TV app.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've got a channel that's just Ninja Turtles cartoons 24/7.
Wait, they have a 24/7 TMNT channel on Pluto?
Yeah.
I got to start using that Pluto app more.
They don't play the original cartoon.
Okay.
But they play, like, the one from the 2000s. They play the 2012 one, my favorite one. And then they play this new one, right? The TMNT. Okay. It's kind of like a Teen Titans Go version of Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Like, episodes are about 11 minutes long, and they completely shifted up the roles of the characters. Raphael leads the team now.
Whoa.
And he's still this big, beefy, like, angry guy, but he leads the team. Leonardo is the one that's always doing what Raph doesn't want him to.
Be pouting in the corner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mikey is the youngest, and he's still, you know, kind of the fun one, and then Donnie is still the nerd.
Okay.
But other, you know, it's their designs are way different, and you know the team dynamic is different.
No, are these grown adult turtles or are these turtles
going
through like
kids.
Turtle puberty and they're still discovering themselves?
Yeah,
their
they're still teenagers.
Okay.
At this particular point in the it's a completely different it's
they're like young teens. I forget the name of the show is Teenage.
Right.
Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, they're like middle school Ninja Turtles.
Okay, because I feel like when you watch the movies and stuff, they might be teenagers, but they have...
Very adult.
Yes, they're very adult-like.
So last week on the Switch, the game Pokemon Unite launched. It is a free-to-play game. You can buy a season pass for about $7 or $8 that'll allow you to unlock other stuff.
Is this the one that's similar to like League of Legends?
League of Legends.
Okay, so yep. This is the Pokemon League of Legends game.
Yes.
Okay.
But it is brilliant.
Is it?
Yeah, it ate up my entire weekend to the point that instead of streaming Rock Band on Sundays, I streamed Pokemon Unite.
Oh, very cool.
Because I wanted to play that. And then Amy sat down and played some of it, and I couldn't get my Switch back for a couple of nights.
You're going to have to get another Switch in the household.
We are going to have to, because you can't play multiplayer on the same Switch because it's online. Mm-hmm. So we need a second Switch. So
then she can be part of your team, right? Is it team-based? Like
it's 5-on-5.
Okay.
And you pick from about 10 different Pokemon. And they have a couple of different abilities. It's much like League of Legends. You've got like a bottom lane and a top lane.
Mm-hmm.
And the object is to take all the bases, the small bases leading up to the other team's base at the end of it. The way you do that is there are Pokemon sprinkled throughout the map that are lower level.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like in League of Legends, mobs will just come out of the other base and you have to kill them. And that's how you get your abilities up. But you can catch the Pokemon that are out running around, and they give you points that you can then score on your opponent's base, almost like those little like that game in American Gladiators with the basketballs where they were putting them in the five different
hoops. yeah you'd have to like try to dodge the gladiator and then
exactly
put it in the hole
but it's fun as hell, and it's really like it explains itself very well.
That's good. Well, I can't believe it's free.
Yep.
I mean, I know Pokemon is pretty much just a money printing press. But the fact that they're giving away a game for free. So there's got to be some in-app purchases and stuff. Is it
Absolutely.
Different skins, or can you pay to get
There
certain,
are different skins.
You can unlock some of your hipster Pokemon?
You start with a license to unlock one of four or five Pokemon.
Okay.
And then if you want additional Pokemon to play with, you either unlock them through daily quests, or you can grind for credits.
For all eternity.
That you can use to buy the Pokemon. Or you can just spend money on some credits that you can just... buy the one you want right off the bat.
Interesting. Well, I'm neither a fan of Pokemon nor League of Legends. I don't understand it, so I will probably not check this one out. But it's interesting to hear that spin on the League of Legends type combat or type of game.
I was very, like, I felt the same way. I was like, I've played League of Legends. I did not enjoy it. I played Blizzard's version of League of Legends, which was Heroes of the Storm, and enjoyed that way more because you could play against bots. And then it was Overwatch characters and Warcraft characters.
Oh, so they had the different characters from other games. That's
cool.
I watched somebody play Smite. A dude from my streaming community, Killer Maniac, plays Smite. And I mean, I still don't understand what he's doing in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But they have so many cool skins that you can actually buy or earn that. I can see the appeal of it.
Yeah, I'm interested on how long it's going to hold my interest. Like, I think a month from now, it might be like Animal Crossing.
When's the new shiny thing going to show up?
I'll have unlocked everything, and I'll be like, yeah, I'm over this. Mm-hmm. I'm done. But
I forget you, Pikachu.
It may be the first game to actually get me to buy a season pass of something.
Wow. When's the last time you bought a season pass for any game?
Probably like Borderlands or something like that, like some downloadable content season pass. But when it comes to Realm Royale, or any of those other, you know, free-to-play games where you can get a season pass to unlock stuff, or Fortnite, never. Yeah. I'm always like, no.
Yeah. No, Realm Royale is the only one I've really dropped money on. I may have dropped money on Warzone if they had some season pass, but I don't know if I actually did.
Right. On a serious note, have you guys heard anything about this Blizzard Activision thing that's going on?
No, not at all.
Some murmurings. I've heard some pretty vile things that took place at like a summer retreat to a female employee.
Right.
I don't know if we want to delve into that, but it was pretty brutal.
Yeah,
there's a story that involves butt plugs. Butt plugs and suicide, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was talking to Weirdbeard, actually, before we got started about it, and he clued me in on that story, which I hadn't read. But there was one particular person that worked there. Their office was known as the Cosby Suite.
Oh.
And not because he told very wholesome comedy in it.
Because there was tons of Jell-O pudding pops?
No.
Oh.
No, unfortunately not. But yeah, they're actually, as we record right now, they're in the midst of a walkout.
Really?
With their
employees are walking out of.
Yeah, whether it's on a virtual basis or actually like leaving work. And I was reading last night that the people who work on World of Warcraft for the last week or so, ever since this the story, you know, has picked up traction, they haven't worked on anything. Like, it's impossible to get anything done right now.
I'm trying to put out some fires. But it's unfortunate if that's how they're treating their employees. I mean, essentially, it's a lot of misogyny and a lot of sexist stuff going on. Things are being treated more like a frat house instead of an actual business. And from what it sounds, it's a very toxic work environment. So hopefully Activision Blizzard can get their act together and treat their employees a little bit better.
That's what I was talking to Weird Beard about. Like, this could go one of two ways, and I feel like it's going to go, they're going to have to completely uproot everything they have to try and make reparations for, you know, almost probably a decade of this stuff going down behind the scenes while they make all these video games. Or they'll just lean into it really hard, because some people have, you've seen that, or I was telling him, I've seen that in comic books with certain writers or artists, or even some publishers, where they, you know, it comes to light that they're part of like the alt-right or something like that, and instead of trying to deny it, they're just like, yep, and that's our audience now. If you don't like it, you can leave.
Oof.
And like, okay, if that's what you want to do. But that's what Weirdbeard was saying, is that, and you can, I'm sure he'll be more articulate about it in the Checkpoint XP daily show that you can download on their website, checkpointxp.com. But we could be seeing the beginning of what could end up being unionization in video gaming.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes, like, for me, coming from working in a grocery store that was unionized, I felt like it was not necessary.
Right.
But now that as life goes on, I can see scenarios where unionizing would make sense. And to me, this is one of those situations.
Yeah, like if we can't trust the employer to not let these things go down, then maybe it's time.
Especially with some of the issues with favoritism and stuff with promotions and things. I know there was a story that we talk about a little bit on the Checkpoint on-demand show, where a female employee was not picked for a position. There was somebody below her that was picked that had less experience, less projects. She ended up becoming the guy that got the promotions, essential. I'm not using the term to be bad, but essentially she became his bitch.
Right.
And she was just doing all the stuff that he was supposed to be doing, and yet he was getting all the credit in the cash.
His gopher.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Thank you.
But yeah, that's what I was talking to him about. Like, it could turn into this thing where, you know, crunch time has always been a huge thing when it comes to video games. And it could turn into this thing where it just becomes the norm of like, yeah, this game is going to come out in September of this year. And then you get closer and it's like, it's going to have to be next year, guys. Like, every game could end up being like that because, you know, they do. And honestly, it's for the best, really. Like, I can wait to play my game. As long as I think we've talked about that before with different games. Like, as long as it's good when it comes out, don't release a broken game.
Yes, I don't care about the horse balls on Red Dead Redemption 2.
I did. I want those horse balls to be.
You
as
know what?
I've
checked for those balls. I've never seen them.
You never? Yeah.
I've never noticed the horse balls.
Swung the camera around and around looking for them.
I just can't
find them.
I looked.
Well, from what I understand, they go up and down depending on the temperature outside.
Right. So you got to ride into the really sweaty bits.
Also, you got to get a male horse too, Al. You know,
I don't need to ride into sweaty bits.
I was just reading something last night too about, I guess, in Red Dead Redemption, in the latest patch, they broke something, so now there's wild horses that are just running around that'll just run right into you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you'll be riding your horse across the plain, and they'll just tackle you, run you right over. It seems to me that wasn't what was happening when the game first launched too.
I don't remember.
I don't know if you were getting run over, but you definitely could run into stuff and it would affect you more. The first game, if you were riding your horse and you rode right into somebody, it would kind of sidestep you around it, which it's a video game, so please just do that. It doesn't need to be hyper-realistic. But now, like, if you bump into someone, they want to shoot you, or you fall off your horse, the horse's leg breaks or something like that. You got to shoot them right in those stupid, glorious balls of theirs.
Oh, man, you got to put your own horse down?
I haven't actually done that. But.
I think the horse might survive that if we get him some medical attention very quickly. That's it.
I don't know, man. I think
that's an Old West vasectomy.
Oh, the vasectomy. I thought you were talking about a horse with a broken leg.
No, shooting a horse in the balls.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, unless he's a champion stallion, he doesn't need those balls.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, the Olympics. Anybody watching the Olympics?
Nope.
Because if you were, you might have heard some very familiar music. I'll tell you about that, as well as a new service that ships vintage video game magazines to your doorstep.
Ooh.
That's coming up next on Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Roger me, will call me, anything. Hello, hello, Earth.
And now, back to the nerds.
It's more Nerd Radio, where we get your podcast as part of the Beepod Studios Network. On social media, Nerd Radio 101. On our website, WRIF.com, Friday mornings is a podcast. And you can check us out Wednesday afternoons in Checkpoint XP's Twitch channel, twitch.tv/CheckpointXP in their studios. Chuck Bean, Al Beck, and James getting ready to wrap up this week's Nerd Radio. Before we do, though, I want to tell you guys about this service that I found where you can get vintage video game magazines delivered right to your doorstep. It's called it's the Video Game History Foundation, who have been collecting vintage video game magazines so they can essentially have them for all time. They can scan them and put them up online so anyone can read them. But in getting all these Electronic Gaming Monthlies and Nintendo Powers and Game Pro magazines, they've got a lot of extras. So they've started this this subscription service where you can, for $20, a one-time $20 fee, they will pick a video game magazine at random and just send it to you. And you can just open it up, and it might be an Electronic Gaming Monthly from 1992. It might be a Nintendo Power from 2004.
It's a weird twist on like the blind box thing. The blind box, you know, when you would, or those like weird mystery crates.
Right.
Interesting, though. I would find myself still reading the magazine, to be honest.
Oh, I would absolutely like it. It definitely scratches that nostalgia itch of like before the internet, that's all we had. You would get that Nintendo Power and stare at those screenshots of the Batman Nintendo game,
or they'd have like the maps of the level. Yeah, somehow they had pictures of everything that was going to happen and telling you where to jump and stuff.
Yep.
Man. Yeah. No, you're right. Before the internet, magazines were the internet.
Yeah. I miss
it's
it.
True.
I kind of miss magazines.
I mean, I wasn't going for a punchline or anything. Right. I
didn't know if there was more to that.
More. No. Or just agreeing with you, Chuck.
Okay.
For once, I'm on your side. What's the problem?
Yeah, you know why Al's never on your side, Chuck.
God.
You know?
Damn it!
What's the one time he is.
That's the problem. He's never on my side. So when he is, it catches me off guard.
You don't know how to.
I don't know how to respond
how to
react.
It. See, Al, you got to be on Chuck's side a little bit more.
Nah.
Like I'm some sort of therapy coach here for you guys.
Nope, it's not going to happen.
Al, you need to support Chuck a little bit more. And Chuck, you need to accept the support that Al is providing when he does provide it.
Chuck and I are in couples counseling. James is a therapist.
So what's funny is like you guys are talking about your problems and I'm offering up some kind of useful tips on how to get better. And I have my little booklet and I'm taking notes and writing stuff down. And if you peer over my shoulder, you see I'm just drawing penises.
Yes.
Drawing penises like the kid
drawing
from
penises, yeah. We're penises getting, and poo-poos.
We're getting mental help from him. He's drawing penises and he's in his man thong.
Yeah.
Yes. And if you look at this design here, you can see there's a war amongst the penises and the poo-poos. Right now, the penises are winning. But the poo-poos are very close.
Right. All you got to do is draw two more poo-poos and they'll have them.
Yeah, but I got this really cool looking penis in mind that I need to draw first.
Well, the 2020 Tokyo Olympics has been moved to this year. And as part of it being in Tokyo, Japan, when they did the walkout ceremony, they played a bunch of video game music.
Nice.
For all the different countries.
Doom Eternal, I hope.
Unfortunately not. It's a lot of music from Squaresoft games. Final Fantasy music, Dragon Quest.
Like must be housed solely in Japan.
I was going to say, the Square Enix must have paid them a mint to get all these songs put in there. I did see yesterday, too, that one of the judges was dressed as a Naruto character.
Really?
On TV.
Interesting.
But yeah, the songs from, let's see, Final Fantasy, the main theme, as well as the victory theme. The ba-da-da-da-ba-da-da-da-da.
Oh,
that song?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool to come out to.
See if I can just layer some of this.
Yeah.
This one's not playing anything.
Yeah.
Never mind.
All right.
You just keep doing you and...
It's a thick layer, Al.
They had a couple of songs from Chrono Trigger. They had some songs from Phantasy Star Universe, which is a Sega game. They had a song from Gradius.
What's Gradius?
It's the old Nintendo side-scrolling like shooter where you had the little spaceship.
Oh,
you can play it on that Nintendo Switch Online, the NES emulator. Speaking of which, did you see the games that are coming out?
No, they got some more games. Dude, I have sworn off my Switch. Mario Golf Super Rush has made me hate my Switch.
I saw your tweet.
Really? Yeah. Why is that?
Because I can't beat... This is a kid's game, and I can't beat the second task in the adventure mode, which is cross-country golf. And there's nowhere in the game that I can find that teaches you how to hit this damn golf ball up a mountain. So what it is, you're in like this weird mountain range area with like six different holes that you have to, It doesn't matter which order you do them in, as long as you get your ball in the hole within like 20 or 30 strokes. Normally, not a problem for me. I would need less than 20 or 30 strokes to get the ball in the hole. But
James has no stroking problems.
No stroking problem whatsoever. Unless it's the kind of stroke that you get from high blood pressure, then according to my doctor, I'm in dire need to get that blood pressure down. But anyways, I've probably attempted this 20, 25 times, and I can't beat it. I can't figure out how to get the golf ball on top of a mountain. There's tornadoes that are supposed to launch your ball up.
Right.
So when I hit my golf ball towards those tornadoes, what happens? The golf ball goes right through the tornado, hits the mountain right behind it, and it bounces completely the opposite direction I need it to go, and I'm screwed. So I'm so frustrated. I don't even want to look at it. I've almost broken my switch right over my knee.
Oof.
So I'm like, I need
to. And back to the blood pressure thing.
Yes. Right.
So.
Well, I will say this. Hopefully it makes you feel a little bit better. You set up the story by saying something I feel like you thought should make you feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's a children's game.
Yeah.
But that, to me, means it could be more difficult.
Right.
Because kids just wrap their heads around these games better. Like, remember I was telling you about when I played Mortal Kombat with my nephew? He had never played it before. I beat him in one match.
Yep.
Halfway through the second match, he grabbed a character out of the background and beat me with it. And I still don't know how he did it. I don't even think it's a feature on the game. I think he somehow recoded it. You know what I mean? Like, what? So the fact that it's a kid's game is probably means it's like expert level. You know,
yeah, I always took it for granted the couple of times I played Fortnite that if I'm getting absolutely wrecked, it's probably by a little kid.
Oh, absolutely.
That's been playing that game all
day long.
I bring
up the kid thing because some people on Twitter were like, you know, it's not supposed to be that hard to just hit the ball into the tornado. And I'm like,
I was going to say, it's a really dumb question, but have you looked online? Have you done a Google search to see?
Yeah, but when I watch somebody do it on YouTube, their layout for their cross country course is completely different than mine.
Oh,
because I can do what they do because
right.
They hit it like to the highest point, which I could do if the highest point was where I started. You know, it just doesn't make sense. So,
Yeah,
if I'm going to make YouTube content about Mario Golf, it would be how to beat the cross-country golf course to help boomers like myself that can't figure it out.
Yeah.
But I can't figure it out.
Well, this weekend is when three new games launch for the Super Nintendo part of the Nintendo Online service.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors. Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Are you ready? Bomboozle.
No clue.
It's a puzzle game with a little blue dude. Jelly Boy. Which is a guy that makes a fist come out of his stomach. He like looks like he's made of like one of those gummy bears. And Claymates.
Is that the clay fighting game?
I don't know if it's a fighting game. I think it's supposed to be. It looks like a platformer.
Oh.
Have the ability to transform into five different animals.
Okay, no, run, I was jump, thinking fly. Of clay fighters.
Clay fighters, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think this may have predated clay fighters, but it's the same company. Yeah, those are our three games that we're getting for the sewer. Three more games nobody asked for.
What was the other one? Jelly Boy.
Yeah, look up Jelly Boy because it is ridiculous.
He's got like a fist coming out of his stomach.
Yep.
Kind of looks more like something else. Like Jelly Boy is hung, is what I'll say.
He's whacking people with his dong.
Let me whack you with my jelly fist that comes out of my crotch.
There is a game on Steam that has an achievement that no one can get.
Well.
On purpose.
On purpose, huh?
Yeah. The designer, the game is called Where the Water Tastes Like Wine. And the designer says
is that a song lyric?
I think so.
Okay.
But the guy who put it together, the game together, said that on purpose he made it so that there was a specific achievement that you couldn't actually get through gameplay because the game is about like critical race theory and the history of slavery in America.
Ooh.
So thematically, he wanted to make an achievement that you could not get game-wise because you can't solve this problem. You can only make it, you know, learn about it and get better about handling it.
Hmm.
Apparently, the game is coming to PlayStation 4 and the Xbox. And on there, they take that achievement out so that you can actually 100% the game. But there are people on Steam that are super pissed because they bought the game and they can't, like, get that last achievement.
Who cares?
I know.
If you have one
coming from
left.
The completionist over there, who says who cares?
I know, but this is, God. Okay. Can we be done?
Almost. Almost. We're almost there.
Not until you play the song Heavy Hands. I want to hear the lyric where the water tastes like wine.
I've got one more story for you. But before we talk about it, I want to ask you guys, how far have you ever gone to win an argument?
I don't know. I need an example of length to go, other than screaming in someone's face.
Well, a guy who's a big fan of a military game called War Thunder actually got in an argument in an online message board about a particular tank that you can play in the game. And in order to win the argument, leaked classified documents.
Ooh, I wouldn't go that far.
On the blueprints of this tank to prove his point.
Well, that sounds like a real dummy.
Yeah, he's in a fair bit of trouble. But it made me think. It's like, how far have I gone to be right in an argument? Not that far. Certainly not.
Yeah, I think the farthest I'd go is whipping it out to prove how long it really is. You don't believe me? I'll show you. Look at that. Get the ruler.
Oh, my goodness.
Every centimeter I promised.
All right. Well, that's all I got for you guys for this week. Here's your song. It's a nice guitar.
Not the song I thought it was.
No.
Well.
I tried. Whatever.
Yep. Wow. Steve Black's book is available now, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that
out. Yeah, let's talk about Steve Black's book.
I'm only a couple chapters into it, so I'm still in the process. But
you got a credit in that bad boy.
I did. I got an acknowledgement. Yeah. We had discussions involving the book.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I knew.
Were you like a consultant?
Yeah, sort of.
An intergalactic consultant for him?
God, it's been a while now. It's been years, but we used to sit and talk about it. But, yeah, I'm an intergalactic consultant. But no, The Last Child is the latest book from Steve Black. The last one was nonfiction. It was an autobiography. This one is a sci-fi fiction novel about the world basically stops getting pregnant. Like, every baby miscarriages, every pregnancy is unsuccessful, they can't get pregnant, and this is the last child born, and it's, you know, the implications of that and so forth. And like I said, I've only just started it, but I wanted to give him another shout out because obviously he's a coworker, a friend.
Yeah.
And
hell yeah,
and friend of the show. So
you know where listeners can get the book.
I was just gonna say go to his website, it's linked up there, so chopshopradio.com. you can actually find links for both his other book, his autobiography, From Light to Black, and for The Last Child.
Excellent. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Nerd Radio. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you nerds.
This Transformer is cool.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
The future's stupid, guys. I'm sorry, but it is.
I have spoken.
Al, can you say some things in the microphone?
I'm saying sure some things so you can check my levels.
Thank you very much. Like a ninja, I didn't even see you do that.
I'm hard to miss. I'm a big fat man who is out of breath from walking up one flight of stairs. Start the recording.
All your heavy breathing must have distracted him.
Why did you think I was so surprised? Yeah. I didn't see you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.